Father God, thank you so much for life in Christ. Thank you that you opened our eyes, that you helped us see how sinful we were. We thank you, Lord God, that you helped us see who Jesus Christ was and his work on the cross. And we thank you for saving us. Lord God, that is your work, and we so appreciate that. Father, help us to understand that we are stewards now in our lives, that everything we say and do and think and own are part of our stewardship. Lord, help us to become better this morning at handling a very important stewardship, your gospel. In Christ's name, amen. So, yesterday, my wife, she always has this phrase. She goes, I have a new favorite song now. Okay? And just like 2 days ago, there was this favorite song that she was talking to a visitor at our house, and they were singing it as we were walking. Well, yesterday, we were walking, and she goes, I have a new favorite song. And I don't know how many favorites she has over the years, but she wanted me to listen to a new song that she liked by Josh Baldwin called Made for More. All right? And as I was finishing up our time this preparing for our time this morning, a thought came to my mind. The title of that song is Made for More. I changed that title, not to change the song, but to have us think this. We are saved for more. We're saved for more. We are saved for more than just going to heaven. We are saved for more than just receiving an incorruptible inheritance. We are saved for more than becoming God's children instead of his enemy. We are saved for more than experiencing a peace that passes all understanding, or having eternal life, or having the debt of our sins forgiven. We are saved for more. We are saved so that we can offer our bodies, our lives, as holy, living sacrifices to God, because he opened our eyes and our hearts to the wonders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were saved so that we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Our salvation has so much more to do with our lives than just us. Just what we get, just what we gain. One characteristic of our offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is that we have come to understand that the resources that we have, that God has given us, that we are stewards of, that is one of those things that we are more saved for more than. We take all the resources he has given us and manage them, invest them for his glory and kingdom. Understand that. Okay? Everything you own, everything you have, every second of time, everything, your reality was given to you as a stewardship of God's resources. And when we become Christ followers, that is a huge change for us, because before that, before our salvation in Jesus Christ, we were stewards of what we had for whom? Us. It was our focus, what we wanted, what we thought was right. But since salvation, that has changed. In other words, each of our lives has become a life of stewardship, which is why we're spending a number of weeks studying what that life of stewardship looks like. We have to be retrained. We have to look at our finances different. We have to look at our relationships different. We have to look at the Bible different. We have to look at our careers different. We have to look at life differently, because we no longer live for us. We live for Jesus Christ. That is our stewardship. And so far in our series, A Life of Stewardship, we have come to understand that every aspect of our lives is a stewardship of resources that God has given us. The foundational principle of this series that helps us grasp this principle and puts it kind of like in a very stark light is this: we can't own anything because God owns everything. You are a steward in every aspect. We can't own anything because God owns everything. And that was one of the primary points we made in the very first sermon of this series. And if you missed that, okay, it is on our website, and you can go to it and listen to it if you want some more insight to what that really means. Last week, we came to understand that the only resource we have that lays out the various principles of stewardship and instructs us how to live every aspect of our lives as God's stewards is the Bible, this here. This is the only resource that we have that helps us understand how to live with God taking first place in our light, in our minds. How do we handle our finances? The Bible tells us. How do we raise children? The Bible tells us. How do we work for God? The Bible tells us. How are we saved? The Bible tells us. Every aspect of our life that we're a steward of, the Bible instructs us on how to do that. And we found out last week that this makes our stewardship of the Word of God one of the most important things in our lives. Because we don't know how to be good stewards unless we know what's in this. That's the bottom line. And so, if you don't read this, if you don't study it, if you're not taught from it, multiple times throughout the week, if we are not faced with this book, with the words that are in this book, you will never succeed at being God's steward. Because you will always drift to acting like an owner instead of a steward. You will make decisions based on what you think is right and true instead of what God thinks is right and true. So knowing that all of life's stewardships are contained in here, this brings us to a very important question. And one that new Christians often ask. Where do I start? I mean, I need to know about a parent. I need to know how to parent. I need to know how to work. My finances are really messed up. How do I learn how to do finances? And pretty soon a new Christian is trying to figure this all out and goes into a major overload because they're trying to figure everything out. Well, let me encourage you. Becoming a good steward in the resources that God has given you is a lifelong process, and you will grow and mature until the day you die. There's never going to be a point where you arrive at being a good steward. However, I do think that there is one place that we need to start, because I think it is the stewardship that we should focus on most in our life, because a whole lot of other stewardships are impacted by this stewardship. And what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus, Paul, and Luke all help us see that we are stewards of the gospel. We are stewards of the gospel. Let me review about what a steward is, just in case some of you haven't been with us. A steward receives something that has been given to him or her from the owner and invests it for their benefit, for the owner's benefit. As stewards of the gospel, we are to take the gospel given to us and invest it for God by living lives that faithfully give a witness to the truth of the gospel's changing power. Every day, our life should scream, "Look at the gospel of Jesus Christ through my life. Look at the gospel of Jesus Christ through my priorities. Look at the gospel of Jesus Christ through how I work." Because you see, it's the gospel that kind of infiltrates all of the other stewardships. You see, the gospel helps us understand how to parent better. Because we understand that parents must be saved. We understand that children must be saved. The gospel helps us with our finances because it tells us how we're to look at them. You see, God drew us to Himself and opened our dead spiritual eyes to the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. He didn't open our eyes just so we could be saved. Jesus describes what this stewardship of the gospel looks like. He's going to help us understand what it means to be a gospel steward. And we're going to look at what Jesus says, we're going to look at what Paul says this morning, and we're going to look at what Luke says, because they all give illustrations on what this stewardship of the gospel looks like. And so the first thing that we see is that Jesus teaches that our stewardship is to be lights to the world. We are stewards of the gospel because we are lights to the world. This is why you exist. This is why you breathe. To be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus taught that He was the light of the world. In John 8:12, we read this, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And understand something. That last phrase is really, really important, because it helps us see that because Jesus isn't here, who is now, which we're going to look at some more in just a minute, who is now the light of the gospel on this planet since Jesus isn't here? You are. If your life is not shedding light of the gospel, there is no gospel light in this world if our lives don't shed that light. And he says, Jesus says, "I am the light." In John 9:5, he kind of helps us understand this even further. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light." He goes, as long as he was here, he's the light. People are going to look to him. Jesus isn't just a light. He is the only true light that enlightens the whole world to the salvation of God. There is no other true light. There are all kinds of other people who claim to be the light. There are all other kinds of religious systems that claim to shed the light on life. But they're all false. Jesus says, "I am the light. I am the light of the world." He's exclusive. And then he taught that when we believe in his light, we become the sons and daughters of his light. And we see that in John 12:36. "While you have the light, believe in the light. While I'm here, believe in the light. That you may become what? Sons or sons and daughters of the light." So when we believe in the light, what happens to us? What do we become? Sons and daughters of the light. Wherever we go, the light shines. Whatever we do, the light shines. And then he says, "While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light." And when Jesus had said these things, he said, he departed and hid himself from him. He set the whole thing up. He says, "I'm getting ready to leave." John 12 is towards the end of the Gospel of John. He's helping them understand that he's getting ready to leave. And he says, "Now you're going to be the light." And the apostles took that and they were the light, and then they spread it out and they planted churches, and then there were other elders and there were other pastors and there were other evangelists that have been passed down for over 2,000 years. And now who is the light of the gospel? Everybody who claims Christ sitting in this room. That is a stewardship that you have. That is a stewardship that you are going to be held accountable for. If you remember back in the first sermon that we preached in this series, we are going to be held accountable for the stewardships that God has given us. We are going to stand before Him one day and give an account. And saying, "I didn't have time, I was too busy, life got in the way, I got hurt at church, or I did this, or this happened to me, I couldn't be a light." God is going to look at you and say, "I gave you the stewardship. There is no excuse. Give an account." And so we are going to give an account for being a light of the gospel. Jesus illustrates what he means by describing the gospel stewardship as being his lights. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, he helps us understand here. He says, "You are the light of the world." So again, Jesus has left. Who is the light of the world? We are. Who has the stewardship? We do. Oh, by the way, the stewardship is not just living a life. When I was growing up, as I was a teen and going through, there was a movement that was called, basically, you live the gospel and people will come to the gospel because you live it. It was called a lifestyle. Okay? The problem with that is that in the Bible? absolutely. But what else is in the Bible? You also speak it. We speak it. We speak the gospel. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our lives, Jesus says, are like a city on a hill that lights up the night sky, saying, weary traveler, look, I am here. I can offer you safety. I can offer you comfort. I can offer you nourishment. Come to me and find your rest. We have to understand, back in that day, when they were traveling, they did not have street lights. Has anybody here traveled in an area where it's just pitch black? One time I was coming home from a hunting trip. I had an old international scout. I was following Albert. My son Kyle was very young and sitting in that. And all of a sudden, my headlights stopped working. And we were out in the middle of nowhere, and it was pitch black. And I have to drive home. And it was snowing. It was a windy road. And Kyle looks at me and goes, I can't see. And I looked at him and I said, neither can I. That is darkness. And so when we look at this, our lights, our lives are like a city on a hill. Albert was in front of us, and he saw my lights go out, and he stopped. He was quite a ways ahead of us. He drove faster than I did, which won't surprise some of you all here. And so he walks back, and he goes, what's up? I don't see your lights. And I said, I have no idea what happened. We couldn't figure it out. He goes, well, get right close to me. You follow me. And not only will you be able to see my headlights, but you'll be able to see my taillights. And I will lead you out until we can get to where all the streetlights were, and you'll have to just drive home in the dark. But who did I concentrate on solely? Him. Where his taillights went, whatever I could see in his lights, I focused on that. That is our stewardship. We are like a city on a hill, or like a truck in front of us that has lights when I don't. We are the light that offers salvation in Jesus Christ because we've experienced that light. Jesus continues and reminds us that as his stewards, the light of the gospel he has placed within us should not be hidden. He says, do not put it under a basket. You don't light a candle and put it under a basket. That's just ridiculous, is basically the thought there. He goes, it's dumb. You don't light a lamp for the room and then put a basket over it. God does not put the light of Jesus Christ in us, his gospel in us, for us to cover it up. We are to give light to the room. We are to give light to anybody that's even close to us. It's our stewardship is what he's saying. We are to give light, the light that God has put within us. Why? Why are we to be the light? Why? So that everyone who sees this light may examine our life. You know, sometimes we don't want to be lights. Because sometimes we like to live in the darkness, don't we? We know there are areas in our life that we don't want anybody else to know about. We don't want them looking at us, so we want to cover up some of our light so it doesn't shine and reveal who we are, because when the light shines and it comes from us, who are people looking at? Whose lives are people looking at? Ours. And God says, you uncover your light and let them see everything that you are. And that puts a heavy responsibility on us, doesn't it? Because we're not to hide those things. We should be working in our lives to be holy and righteous before God so that when people look at us, they see Jesus Christ. They don't see our being living in the gray areas. He says, "You to be a light to the room, you are not to cover it with a basket." And Jesus' illustration is clear. We have been given the gospel stewardship to be lights to the world. Paul also gives us an illustration that helps us see that we are stewards of the gospel. And Paul likens our gospel stewardship to being ambassadors of the gospel. Ambassadors of the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is the passage that Ricky read earlier. An ambassador is a person who has been selected, given a stewardship, to be someone else's official personal representative. That's what an ambassador is. An ambassador serves on behalf of another of higher rank. Everything that an ambassador does reflects on the one they represent. They act with the authority of the person they represent. The words they speak are seen as being the words of the one they represent. The life that they live, okay, is looked at as representative of the person that they represent. They don't live as an ambassador for themselves. They live and serve as an ambassador to represent the one who asked them or gave them the stewardship of their ambassadorship. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Jesus says we're the light. Paul says we're ambassadors. We represent, our lives represent, our speech represents, our priorities represent the one whom has given us, who has given us the stewardship, which is whom? Jesus Christ. Let's look at this passage that Ricky looked at, read a few minutes ago. The context for these verses is that Paul is talking about his burden for the lost as he defends the integrity of his ministry. As he describes his burden for the lost, he writes one of the most encouraging truths found in the Bible. Look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if they are saved, he is a new creation. How many of you, does that just warm your heart? How many of you want to go back to what you were before salvation? How many want to be that creation that you were born in, that sinfulness that you were born in? And what we see here is Paul saying, hey, listen, for those of us who live in Christ, we are new creatures. We are new creations. We have a blank slate, and we get a chance to be a steward for the loving, righteous, almighty, infinite God. What encouragement that gives us, that there is nothing that anybody has done in this room that would ever stop God from making you a new creation if you accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. Doesn't make any difference what anybody in this room has done at any time. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and become a light to the gospel, and you also become an ambassador. You get to represent Jesus. You get to represent His Father. In verses 18 and 19, we find that this salvation comes from God, who has given us the responsibility to be ministers of reconciliation. Look at verses 18 and 19. All this is from God. All this new creation is from God. It is not from us, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. And so we are reconciled to Christ. We are made right. Okay, reconciled means that there is a problem. There is a separation. There is something that comes between the relationship of two people. And being reconciled means what? It's gone. It's gone. We have a relationship that's been repaired. If you've been married very long, you understand how important reconciliation is. True? All right? I know absolutely when I am not reconciled to my wife and whatever is happening in our lives. I mean, men, do you know that you're not reconciled to your wife? You walk into the room from work and you go, hey, honey. Hi. Whoa. Ears go up. Antennas go up. Okay, what did I do? A lot of the guys are looking at me going like, yep. How was your day? Fine. How's the dog? Fine. Do you want to talk to me right now? Fine. Not really. But we have to understand. We understand what it means not to have a reconciled relationship. My daughter, when she was younger, was going through some issues, some medical issues. And we were struggling with it. And one day I caught her doing something up in the bathroom that related to this medical issue. And just as she did it, she saw me at the bottom of the stairs looking at her. And she turns to me and goes, "Dad, Dad, but, Dad, Dad." And I just turned around and walked away because she had lied to me. She had misrepresented what she was doing. She basically was ignoring everything that Kathy and I were trying to do to help her through this medical issue. And I just turned around and walked away. And it was a couple of days where it was just really rough to be around Kelly. She didn't say sorry. She didn't want to talk. It was just, and I'm not going to deal with this. I'm upset. And finally, Kathy kind of intervened and said, "You need to make this right with your daughter." And I looked at her, and I didn't want to say she was right. I really didn't, but she was right. And so we got together, and we repaired our relationship. For 2 days, we lived a life that was separate. We were not reconciled to one another. But God has given us the ministry we found here, a ministry of reconciliation. He says, "You have been reconciled through your salvation in Jesus Christ, and now you have been given the ministry. You have been given the stewardship of reconciliation. We are to preach and teach as ambassadors of Jesus Christ that the world, that the people we deal with can be reconciled to God." Is that an important message they need to hear? Absolutely. They need to hear that. And that's what we see, that we have been given that stewardship, that as ministers of reconciliation in verses 18 and 19. Now, let's take a look at verse 20. Let's take a look at verse 20. All right? "Therefore, because of this, our being reconciled, because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ, making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." When is the last time you looked at somebody and implored them to be reconciled to God? You looked at them and you said, "I want you to understand that you are separated from God. You are a child of wrath. You are going to be the point of His discipline, His punishment. And I love you enough to look at you and say, you need to repent. You need to have a reconciled relationship." That's a stewardship we've been given. It's not just coming to somebody and saying, "Hey, did you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that He really wants to save you and that your life can get better, David, that you really need to have a changed life?" It's not just doing that and saying, "Good, David, I gave you the gospel. You have a great day. Oh, by the way, share that with Sherry on your way home." No, I'm going to take David out and I'm going to look at him while he's full of food, because that makes it easier, right? He's a little bit more calm. And I'm going to look at David and I'm going to say, "David, you need to be reconciled to the Creator of the universe. You need to be reconciled, David, to the One who holds your eternity in His hands. You need to have a right relationship with Him." And David's going to look at me. He may not respond really well, true? He may be polite and still let me pay for the dinner. But inside, he might be seething. And it may not just stay on the inside, because I just told him he is outside of what God wants him to be. That he's a sinner, that he needs to be reconciled. But that's our stewardship. When's the last time you were a steward of the ministry of reconciliation that God gave you? When's the last time that we implored on the behalf of Jesus Christ? We are His ambassadors, His representatives to the world, to call everyone to be made right, to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is clear. Christ followers have been given their stewardship of the gospel through the ministry of the reconciliation. We are called to live as ambassadors of Christ who appeal to the lost and dying and dark world that needs to hear about the light of Jesus Christ. Paul, as we know, has described our stewardship of the gospel as being ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And now, we're going to look at how Luke describes it. Well, the passage that we are fairly familiar with, because not too long ago we went through the book of Acts. So please turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And here we read Luke, who says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Jesus is talking to his disciples. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Luke describes our stewardship of the gospel as being gospel witnesses. Gospel witnesses. We have Jesus describing it as being a light to the world. We have Paul talking about it, revealing it as being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And now we have Luke saying that we are witnesses. What does a witness do? What's the responsibility of a witness? Witnesses give testimony to the truth that they have experienced. True? They give witnesses to the what? The truth of what they've seen. Witnesses are expected to give testimony that is reliable, aligns with the reality of life, and is unbiased. In 1 Peter 3:15, we read, "But in your hearts," and Peter is talking about suffering here, "honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Peter says, when you are a witness, he says, always be because you are witnesses of the gospel, always be prepared to give a defense for what you believe to be right and true. Always be ready to give a defense, an accurate defense for the hope that is in you. Being a witness means defending the truth of what you have seen or experienced. As gospel witnesses, we are to be prepared to give a defense to why we live a life of hope each and every day. Our stewardship of the gospel means we live in hope every day. How many of you live in hope every day? You look around the world, and every aspect of the world seems to be falling apart today, doesn't it? You go into classrooms and you see children who are not being raised by parents who understand what it means to raise a parent and what it means to raise a child. And we see teachers and we see staff members in schools just pulling their hair out because why? They have kids who have no clue of what it means to live a life that focuses on anybody else but themselves. But those teachers who are Christ followers, they live with hope every day that their ministry of reconciliation, their stewardship of the gospel will impact a child, one of their parents, one day. And they live in the classroom with hope every day that whatever God puts in my way, whatever I encounter today, I can turn it into an opportunity to be a steward of the gospel. Not just by telling them, but also by living it, so they can see the hope in me. As God's ambassadors of light, we live each moment of our lives. We desire to have every part of our lives to give witness to the truthfulness of the gospel. As we've seen, there is no doubt that God's word clearly tutors us that we have been given a stewardship of the gospel as our main life focus. We have been given stewardship of the gospel as our main life focus because it touches every part of our life, in our relationships in the home, in our parenting, in our work, in our relationships with our neighbors. The gospel message needs to exude from us so that it touches every single part of who we are. All the other stewardships that we're going to start looking at, or that we are going to continue looking at, are impacted by the gospel and how well we know it. Every single one. We live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live to be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live to give the world hope as they watch our light-filled lives day in and day out. That is the stewardship of the gospel. As friends, we come alongside our friends and share the most important pieces of news that we can ever share with them. Jesus Christ loves you. As co-workers, as neighbors, as family members, we must be faithful stewards of the gospel by sharing the news of a new life in Jesus Christ. Now we need to ask this really, really hard question. How are you handling this stewardship in your life? Be specific. How am I handling it? I love my Savior. I love what He's done for me. And I know that He's giving me this stewardship of the gospel. And I know that I'm going to be held accountable to Him. I know that. How am I doing? How are you doing? That's a hard question. Will you one day stand before your Savior and have Him say this, "Well done, my good and faithful steward. Well done, my good and faithful steward." Will you hear that from Him? For those of you who are perfectionists, He's not going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful perfect servant, because that's not going to happen. We're all going to fail. We're all going to not be the lights we should be sometime. But that's where we can come before our Savior and say, "Lord God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And He's going to do what? Absolutely. Now, let's move forward. Take care of the stewardship. Work at the stewardship. Grow in the stewardship. And before I close, I'd like to ask you one other question. What is the gospel? What is it? I think that most everybody in here would have some answer to that. You cannot be a good steward of the gospel unless you know what it is. Can't. One of the verses that I learned early in my life that kind of sums up the gospel, okay, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. It says, "For I delivered to you," this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, "as of first importance." So he's going to be talking about the gospel. How important is it? First, above what other stewardships? All the other ones, because they are all going to be intertwined with this one. "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Amen? That's a summary of one part of the gospel. And what I like there is he says, according to what? The Scriptures. Now we go back to last week. Where do we find out about Jesus Christ dying for our sins? Right here. There is no other place to find that out but here. And then he says, the other part, "That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." These two verses sum up the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and rose on the third day to prove it. That answers the question. But it is a summary statement. There is so much more to the gospel that we need to know. And that is what we have the privilege of looking at next week. We know we have the stewardship of the gospel. We know that it's set in our lap. We know that Christ has told us that this is what we're going to do. We don't have a choice. So, what is the gospel? What is the big view of the gospel? What parts and pieces are there to it? And so next week is a really, really important week because we are going to look in depth at the gospel of Jesus Christ. This here sums it up, but we are going to look. So if you have anybody who needs to know the gospel, if you know of anybody who you've been witnessing to that really needs to have it laid out for them what the gospel is, next week is the week to have them here. And if they won't come, you make sure you're here and go back and handle your stewardship. There won't be notes next week because I'm going to give you 5 pages of what the gospel is. And that way, you are going to be equipped to better handle the stewardship of the gospel because you're going to understand it. You're going to be able to take it home. You're going to be able to look the verses up and understand what they are. You're going to be able to go through it and maybe make it easier for your kids. You're going to be able to handle the gospel stewardship because you're going to really know what the gospel is saying. So next week is a really important week because we're going to look at what is the gospel. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for our stewardship. We are thankful that there is more to life, there is more to salvation than just us, than just heaven and our rewards. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to participate with you in the salvation of souls. We thank you, Lord God, that we have what we need to be lights to the world in your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you opened our dead spiritual eyes and hearts to the fact that we need Jesus Christ because we are sinners. Lord, we praise your name for all of this truth that we know. And I pray, Lord, that we would now take that truth to the world around us as gospel stewards. In Christ's name, amen.